Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. Currently light rain and 79 degrees. A man is dead after a motorcycle accident near downtown Wichita Monday evening. The crash happened in the 1300 block of Museum Boulevard. Police say the motorcycle crashed in the street.
Upon arrival, officers located a motor vehicle that was involved in an accident with a single occupant. EMS arrived on scene, and that individual was pronounced deceased due to injuries during the traffic accident.
Police Sergeant Matt Balthazar said investigators were interviewing witnesses to determine what caused the crash. The Kansas State Fair will not take place as expected this year, but that doesn't mean it will be a complete washout.
While the Midway and Grandstand will be silent at this year's fair, the animal shows will still be taking place. State Fair Competitive Events Director Jenna Galloway tells KSN News the board decided to carry on with the animal shows.
It's a time-sensitive thing. You can only show them at a certain age. And youth especially have put a lot of money, work, and time into preparing their animals.
Officials say they plan to stagger some of the events over three weekends, beginning with the Labor Day weekend. They also plan to hold some horse shows during the regular week of the fair. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
HeartSpring in Wichita says six staff members tested positive for COVID-19 in its residential school.
On July 7th, HeartSpring notified employees and families of the initial positive test. After being sent home to quarantine due to contact with the original staff member, the other five employees were tested for COVID-19 per the organization's requirements. While the HeartSpring leadership team does not believe the residential school employees have had contact with any outpatient clients or staff, HeartSpring Pediatric and Autism Services departments will be temporarily closed starting today until further notice. During this time, all HeartSpring staff will be tested for COVID-19 and additional campus-wide sanitation will take place. Dave Wilson, KNSS News.
Police officers come under fire in New Orleans.
Police say they were just standing on a New Orleans street when they were approached by individuals on foot who began to fire at them. A 10-year-old child was killed and two teenagers wounded by gunfire.
The 15, maybe 16-year-old female sustained a gunshot wound to the stomach. 13-year-old sustained a gunshot wound to the leg. And unfortunately, our 10-year-old victim is deceased with a gunshot wound to the head.
New Orleans Police Chief Sean Ferguson adds, there's no known motive yet, and no suspects either. Sal Chiangrasso, Fox News.
Police later said a fourth person had been shot. That person's condition is not known. A huge party a couple of weeks ago in Michigan has turned into a serious coronavirus outbreak.
This party outside of Ann Arbor was held on July 2nd and 3rd, and since then, contact tracers have identified what they call exposed close contacts, which included people who had close face-to-face conversations for up to 15 minutes or more with someone infected with coronavirus. Tracers say that happened some 66 times, and now 43 coronavirus cases are linked to this one party. Local health officials say most of those infected are between the ages of 15 and 25. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer has imposed a mandatory mask mandate in the state with a penalty of up to a $500 fine. John Saucier, Fox News.
A lawsuit has been filed against Kansas State University and the Kansas Board of Regents. The lawsuit was filed by two former students who graduated in May, but
after the university canceled in-person classes and went online because of the pandemic. Now, the plaintiffs say they did not receive the benefits and services that they bargained for when they provided payment for tuition and fees. They say they are suing for breach of contract, conversion, and common law enrichment. They are asking for a refund of the in-person tuition that they paid. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock.
KNSS.
Good morning, 6:10 now. Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. 6:10 on a Tuesday morning, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
And a look at the traffic update here on the Tuesday morning commute. We'll keep you updated on what's going on. During the last hour and a half, we did have a vehicle fire at the 16th and Kansas in North Wichita, but that was within the last hour and a half. Probably won't see much after effect from that, but that's what's been going on the last couple of hours. We'll keep you updated on traffic as we go along with the morning. Steve and Ted on KNSS.
All right, let's take a look at the forecast now with KNSS staff meteorologist Dan Holliday. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. An area of scattered showers and a few thunderstorms will gradually weaken here this morning. We become mostly sunny, hot and humid this afternoon, a bit breezy with a high 96, and a heat advisory goes into effect. Late tonight, along a frontal boundary, some thunderstorms will form. A few of those strong are low 72. Tomorrow's high, 90. I'm KNSS meteorologist Dan Holliday.
Now, a cloudy sky, 74 degrees. I'm not sure what the wind is doing right now. National Weather Service not giving anything on that. However, the last hour, the wind was gusting out of the north. Pretty strong, Ted said, as he came in this morning. Just a little rain, Ted, and maybe some north wind, but not much.
Like the wind was picking up a little bit.
Yeah. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. We had another hot, sunny day across south-central Kansas Monday. Wichita's high temperature was 93 degrees, normal high for the date, 93. On this date, in 1954, Wichita set a July record high temperature when 113 degrees torched the city. Chanute and Salina also set record highs for the date. Chanute hit a humid 115, while Salina's high was 113. That was in 1954. That's a pretty hot day.
54 was a terribly hot summer.
It was. And I was about five, ready for kindergarten. It seems to me like I remember it was really hot. And that's one of the first memories I have in life. It's just, it was really hot outside. In our home, we lived on Spruce in a little house over there near East High School, Ted, and it was a two-story house. It's still there. But the only air conditioning we had at the time was a water-cooled Hiss system in the living room, and it was a big box on the window. Water was in the bottom, and wow. it just blew a fan over the cool water.
Yeah. That was,
and it really worked pretty well.
That's basically what you need.
Yeah. And so that's what we had to keep cool with, and some fans, you know. On this date in 1933, here you go, Ted. Popeye the Sailor appeared in his first cartoon. That's right. Today is Popeye's birthday. How about that?
So how old is he?
1933. 1940. Gosh, I don't know. 80? I don't know. Do the math. I can't do it. The November election is coming with a big price tag as America faces the coronavirus pandemic. The demand for mail-in ballots is surging. Election workers are in need of training, and polling booths might have to be outfitted with protective shields. But long-promised federal aid to help election officials is stalled in Congress. State officials say they need more money to create a pandemic-ready voting system. Lawmakers are set to debate the funding in the coming weeks after approving $400 million in help earlier this year. Key Senate Republicans seem likely to support another round of aid, despite opposition from President Donald Trump. So, I don't know what the impact is. Maybe we get Tabitha Lehman on one of these mornings and find out. And she would give us a good idea. She is, of course, the Sedgwick County Election Commissioner. And Tabitha's got a good handle on this. I'm going to get her on maybe the next couple of days to see what's going on.
We're just a few weeks out from the primary.
Not too far out, August 4th.
Yep.
And like I said, I've already applied for my – I'm going to vote by mail this year, Shelley and I, so – we're going to do it that way, but it could be a flood of those type of ballots. Well, now that the Washington Redskins have dropped their nickname, the spotlight has moved to other sports franchises.
under pressure to make changes amid a nationwide movement calling for racial justice. The NFL team said it is retiring its nickname, which had been in place since 1933. Several sponsors threatened to end partnerships if the team didn't change. The Cleveland Indians seem to be the next pro team in line for change. They are in preliminary discussions about a new name. Meanwhile, the Atlanta Braves and the National Hockey League Chicago Blackhawks say they have no plans to change their names or logos. Ted, now there's starting to get some, in fact, there's going to be a meeting today about possibly changing the Wichita North High Redskins and getting rid of that. And I've already seen a couple of Facebooks on this, and these are two young women who happen to be very good friends of my daughter's who went to North, and they were friends in school, and they are diametrically opposed.
Well, that's what Facebook is good for, outrage on all sides.
And these two women, I know, were friends, and I hope they still are, but that's what's going to happen with this thing. It's going to divide the heck out of people. Now, I was just doing some thinking about it, Ted, and I remember the time when I was growing up, South High School's mascot was the Colonels.
Yes.
Basically, it was a guy who looked like Yosemite Sam and with the Confederate stars and bars.
Yeah, they were playing on the name South.
Yeah, there was South High,
and
South
Dixie, and all that.
And then in the 70s, that became politically incorrect. They changed to the Titans, which I don't know. Apparently, I didn't go to South, so it didn't mean much to me one way or the other. But it is going to be interesting. What I think is interesting, Ted, if we're asking people to be creative and come up with some new names. And what are some good new names? I mean, I think, you know, obviously, I believe these franchises tried to honor the American, Native American. Although, you know, Redskins is kind of bad. I mean, that's a racially charged thing. But, you know, the Chiefs, are the Chiefs going to change?
Yeah, how do the Chiefs manage to skate on all this?
Yeah, are they going to get by? Hmm. Now, didn't they start out, though, as Dallas, as a Steers, or am I wrong?
They were the Dallas Texans.
Texans? I thought there was a steer in there, but a steer wouldn't be a good name. A bull might be. Chicago Bulls.
We've already got one pro franchise named the Bulls.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's going to be, but I think the creative aspect's going to be kind of interesting. How do you come up with, after all those years of Washington, I'm sure they've updated their logo a little bit, but.
Not really. Yeah, that logo's been pretty much the same for years.
Yeah, I was going to say, but not much. But still, it's, you know what it is. But, you know, I think one of the most interesting things that happened with Kansas State in football, especially in football, when Mr. Snyder came up there, at one point they went from all their old-fashioned stuff and they created that cat logo, and that thing was monstrous. I just love it.
That was a marketing coup for them.
I love that logo. That is terrific. But so we're going to
see. I don't like it.
You don't?
I like the old Willie Wildcat.
Oh, do you? Okay. Well,
I'm probably in the minority on that.
Well, it's like I said, this is all going to divide us. I hope maybe we can come together and get some good ideas out of it. We hope so. 6:18 now, Steve and Ted here on KNSS. Now we got some real sports news this morning with Ted Woodward, leadoff sports on a Tuesday morning. Ted?
By the way, you were talking about the wind earlier.
Yeah.
Jabari Airport is showing north wind at 18 miles an hour, gusting up to 30.
Okay, so it's gusty.
A little bit of
that would cool thing to breathe.
Well, you would hope that might help a little bit.
Yeah.
Hey, let's take a look at sports. Just what we were talking about right there. Pressure put on sports franchises and teams to change names. The Atlanta Braves have sent a letter to their fan base over the future of what they're trying to get done.
While Washington's NFL team announced today that it is retiring the nickname Redskins, Major League Baseball's Atlanta Braves will remain as such. The team said so in a letter to season ticket holders, writing, "We have great respect and reverence for our name, and the Native American communities that have held meaningful relationships with us do as well. We will always be the Atlanta Braves." But what about that tomahawk chop and accompanying war cry that fans display at Braves home games, like the longtime traditions also seen and heard at games at Florida State University and for the Kansas City Chiefs? The Braves say they are listening to Native American groups, fans, players, and alumni to, quote, ensure we are making an informed decision on this part of our fan experience. Jared Max, Fox News.
I don't know. That's kind of, if you're doing the chop, you're kind of indicating that you're a Native American who's pretty doggone brave and aggressive.
I always felt that's much more offensive than the name itself.
Okay.
You know, it comes with a stereotype or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe so.
We'll see what happens with all that. The National Football League is revealing its efforts to help prevent the spread of COVID-19 on the field.
The Oakley Mouth Shield, a product designed by Oakley in collaboration with doctors and engineers from the NFL and the NFL Players Association to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus on the field, is expected to be distributed to all 32 teams over the next week. Plastic sheets extend down from the Oakley eyewear and then attach to the face guard. There are airways and an opening on the mouth shield, but none that allow direct transmission of droplets. Now, according to the NFL, the two biggest concerns to date have been visibility and breathability for players. They're currently awaiting feedback from the LA Rams and LA Chargers, who were the first to receive these shields. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
About the NBA trying to get its season restarted in a bubble in Orlando. What happens if a player breaks quarantine protocols, which, by the way, has already happened?
After they have broken these rules, and even though the way that these two did it was inadvertent, one just left their room during quarantine and wasn't clear that that was against the rules, and the other was going to pick up a food delivery and just so happened to step outside of the lines of what is actually campus and safe and on lockdown. It doesn't matter, though. Those players still have to now quarantine for 10 additional days and test negative every day that they are in quarantine, just to make sure that they did not, by chance, contract coronavirus, even if they were only away from campus for a couple of minutes. And that'll be the same for any player, whether it is intentional or unintentional, that they step foot outside of the bubble boundaries.
There you go. Fun. Junior colleges are moving most of their fall sports to the spring semester, except for cross country. Cross country is still a fall sport, but football, volleyball, men's and women's soccer have all now been moved to the spring. Winter sports for JUCOs will begin in January. So junior college is already pushing stuff back, including football. I got a couple of birthdays today. About former Kansas State men's basketball coach Tom Asbury, 75 today. He was had a successful run at Pepperdine and became K-State head coach. Was at K-State for 6 years. Never won a postseason game.
Oh.
0-3.
Okay.
Won NCAA tournament and a couple of NITs. And a happy birthday today to Pepe Frias, 72 today. Infielder. He was a player, a coach for the Wichita Arrows back in 1982 under manager Felipe Alou. Pepe Frias spent 9 years in the big leagues, most of those with the Montreal Expos.
Oh,
spent a year in Wichita. Every time we yelled his name, he always turned around and yelled at us at Lawrence. gave us a wave at Lawrence Dumont Stadium.
Really?
Hey, Pepe! He gave us a nice. He was a very nice man. Pepe Frias is 72 today, and that's sports with Steve and Ted.
A fan favorite, you might
say. Yeah, I love Pepe Frias.
All right, guys, 6:22 now. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. There really is something to the power of positive thinking. That's coming up, Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.